Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. Now, this morning, we're moving on from Psalm 2 to Psalm 7. Psalm 7. It's not too long a psalm, and I feel that perhaps we should just read it to start with. There is no better way. Indeed, it is the chief way of learning what's in the Bible by reading it. Preaching is important, but I believe even before preaching, the means of learning what God has to say to us is by us reading His Word. You remember that. And don't ever set it aside and say, oh, well, let the preacher tell me. No, you search God's Word for yourself. All right, Psalm 7, reading from the verse 1. You'll notice the title given to the psalm, we'll start with that, Shigeon of David, which he sang unto the Lord concerning the words of Cush the Benjaminite. O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust, save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is mine enemy. Let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay mine honour in the dust. Selah, a little word that means stop and think about what it is you have just read. Arise, O Lord, in thine anger. Lift up thyself because of the rage of mine enemies, and awake for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded. So shall the congregation of the people compass thee about. For their sakes, therefore, return thou on high. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness, and according to mine integrity that is in me. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and reigns. My defence is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he return not, he will whet his sword. That is, if the wicked don't turn, then God will sharpen his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordaineth his arrows against the persecutors. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity and hath conceived his mischief and brought forth falsehood. He made a pit and digged it, and is fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate, his own head. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. We have recently been looking at Psalm 2, which gives us a wonderful panoramic view of future times. The word panoramic is a word that anyone who uses a camera is familiar with. When we take a picture, we just can take in something of what it is that is in front of us. But if we have a lens that allows us to take a panoramic picture, it's a very wide picture, and it takes in almost all that our eyes can see as we look out. And in Psalm 2, that's what we have, a very wide picture of what lies in the future. But today we're moving to Psalm 7. The difficulty I have in this study is which of the Psalms to turn to, because there is hardly one Psalm that doesn't deal, at least in some way, with what lies in the future. It would seem to me that God's purpose and plan for his people way in the future was ever upon the mind of the Old Testament saints who were the authors of the Psalms. They were forever thinking about it. That's something we should take note of. Do we think about the future? Do we think about the future? If you think about the future, it will have an impact upon how you live now. I think I might have used this illustration in the past. It comes back to my mind. When anyone is driving down the road, they see signs. And those signs tell them what lies ahead. And what those signs tell them has an immediate effect upon them. For instance, if you come to the end of a road, you will see some way back from the end of the road a sign telling you that there is a need for you to halt because you're leaving this road and going out onto another road on which there's traffic and you just can't drive out onto it or you'll have an accident. So that sign immediately has an impact upon the person who sees it. They slow the car down so that it comes to a stop at the end of the road. Well, if we can, in God's word, find those references, those signs that speak of the future, it will have an impact upon us today. It will affect how we live. It will affect how we live. In this Psalm 7, we have, amongst the words of David, in which he refers to circumstances in his life some 3,000 years ago. That's when David lived, a long time ago. But as he's referring to circumstances which are in his life, we find that there are references to the future. Obviously, David not only was thinking about what was happening to him, but he was thinking also of what God had planned for him and for all like him who were redeemed. And it's not surprising that this should be so, because the enemy that we face today, the devil, wicked man, is the same enemy that in the future will rise up in defiance of God and bring about that final confrontation between God and wickedness. Bring about his victory over sinful man. Bring about his leaving heaven and come down to this earth to crush man's rebellion. So, as we face the enemy today, surely we cannot help but think of how in the future this same enemy we face today will be met by God and dealt with by the Lord. And that being so, it will cheer us up. It will cheer us up. Many years ago, I spent a short time in jail. Well, actually, a number of short times in jail. But it comes back to my mind that outside the cell of every prisoner then, I don't know whether it's so now or not, but outside the cell then, there was a little slot with a card in it. And it had the name of the prisoner, and all the details about him, his age and all the rest of it. But it also had something else. It had the date in which he would be released from jail. Some of the men were going to be there for many years. Others, like us, were only going to be there for a few months. But there was the date. If everything worked out and the man behaved himself and didn't find his sentence lengthened, this is the date he would get out on. And let me tell you, every prisoner had a good look at that date almost every day, and it cheered them up. I'll get out on that date. And in God's word, we find references, and we find God's people constantly thinking about the day, the occasion, when the Lord will come and we'll all get out of jail, all be delivered from the captivity that we have to endure at present. So, we're going to have a quick glimpse at this Psalm number 7. We'll start by having a note of the title that's given to the Psalm. It's written there before the Psalm, Shiganon of David. I think that's a song of David, which he sang unto the Lord. Well, that would surely indicate that that's the meaning of the word, concerning the words of Cush the Benjaminite. This man Cush was an enemy who opposed David, mocked David, slandered David, spoke hateful words against David. But David singing about him. Now this man Cush, in what he was saying about David, wanted to hurt David, grieve David, upset David. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to annoy him. But instead, David singing. Why? Because David thought upon the time when Cush and all like him would be dealt with by God. Cush wouldn't always be cursing, denouncing and mocking. There would come a day when he would be dealt with, and all like him, by God. And that made David sing. Now, boys and girls, that is the value of an understanding of prophecy. If you come in here this morning and didn't know the school ended at 3:30, you can't even begin to imagine this. But try hard. Say you come in this morning and you didn't know the school ended at 3:30. You had no idea how long you were going to be kept here. That would cast a bit of a shadow over the day, wouldn't it? Whenever things are getting tough for you, and there's maybe an old something you just can't work it out, you can think, when 3:30 comes, I'll be going home. It's not going to last all day. I'll get home. But if you didn't have that knowledge, then things would be very drear and sad indeed. But as it is, you can all imagine that not too far ahead of us is the ride home and school will be over. Well, when you study the Bible and look at prophecy that is set forth in it, that's the impact it has upon you. When you find yourself in the midst of trouble, like David, you'll sing. You'll sing. That must have annoyed Cush, whoever he was. He was wanting to make David cry. He was wanting David to weep. But instead he's singing. David was singing because he knew one day, God is going to deal with the likes of this. So then, let's learn first of all that the Christian, the believer, may sing about their tormentors. We may sing about our tormentors. We don't have to be cast down. We don't have to be utterly saddened and feeling wretched. But the very voice of our tormentors make us think about the fact one day God's going to deal with you. What a glorious day that will be. Boys and girls, irrespective of the trouble we're in, by faith we can see the Lord giving us the ultimate triumph over all that opposes us. In Job chapter 35 and the verse 10, we read these words, famous words, He, as the Lord, giveth songs in the night. Night time is a time of darkness. For many is a time of loneliness. But the Lord gives to his people song in the night. So David here was able to offset, counter the mocking of this man Cush by thoughts of the day when the Lord would deal with such as him. Psalm 98 is all about the day of judgment and destruction of the wicked. Starts off, "Oh, sing a new song, for he hath done marvellous things, his right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory." And it goes on to deal with God's victory over the enemy. And as a result of thinking about that, the psalmist is urging everyone to sing. God's people, boys and girls, can sing in the midst of today's troubles. No matter what your trouble may be, you may sing. Because in the end, God's going to deliver you and all like you. Paul the Apostle says in 1 Corinthians, the chapter 2 and the verse 14, "Now Thanks be unto God, which causeth us to triumph in Christ. Man, old Paul was in jail many's a time. He was beaten many's and many's a time. Hauled up before magistrates, accused of every crime they could think of. But he was able to say, now thanks be unto God, which causeth us to triumph in Christ. That's the portion of each one of you that's saved today. You're going to triumph in Christ one day, and if you think upon it, you begin to taste it already. You begin to taste it already. Now, we're not sure who Cush the Benjaminite was that's referred to in the title. There are a number of individuals referred to in the history of David given us in the Bible, but none quite fit the information given here. Cush the Benjaminite. We may well think of a man called Shimei, who when David's son Absalom rose up in rebellion on poor David, an elderly man, had to flee from Jerusalem. As he was fleeing out over the Mount of Olives, this man Shimei, who was of the house of Saul, he took the opportunity a little higher up the hill as David was passing along, and he was throwing stones at him and throwing dirt at him and throwing nasty words at him. It was a sad day, a day when the enemy was mocking. Now, I don't think that's exactly the day referred to, but it must have been a day similar to that. And boys and girls, we all have to endure days like that. We all have to endure days when things seem to be going against us. But David in that day was able to sing. He was able to think into the future. One day this will end, and I will be delivered. Now the prophetic content of this psalm may be seen, and here you have to do a wee bit of thinking. The prophetic content of the psalm may be seen in those events referred to in it that we know did not happen to David or could not refer to David. You find in the psalm references to a sinlessness, a guiltlessness that the psalmist claims that we know David could not really say of himself, for David did do wrong things and did sin. But in the spirit of prophecy, he was referring, I believe, to the Lord and how the Lord could say in prayer, my hands are clean, I don't deserve what the enemy is heaping upon me, therefore come to my aid. You see there in verse 4, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is mine enemy. And there's an innocence proclaimed here that I don't think David could quite claim. Oh, he was a good man. Yes, yes, yes. But there were flaws and blemishes in David that I think he could not say these words before the Lord. But the Lord Jesus can. And we can find in this psalm, not only David speaking, but overriding it, we can hear the Lord speaking, and the Lord praying, and the Lord looking to his Father to that day when all the enemies of the Lord Jesus would be avenged. I want us to look at one particular verse, for there we have a specific prayer in the hour of trouble, and it's the verse 6. Look at it quickly. Verse 6. Arise, O Lord, in thine anger, lift up thyself because of the rage of mine enemies, and awake for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded. Now there is the psalmist looking to that day when God would avenge him of all the sufferings that he has had to endure at the hands of the wicked. And I say to you again, here's the benefit, boys and girls, of understanding what God has told us about what he is going to do in the future. Now in this verse, it's very obvious David understood God's purpose and plan. Read it again. Arise, O Lord, in thine anger, lift up thyself because of the rage of mine enemies, and awake for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded. And that last little phrase is the important one. The judgment that thou hast commanded. The judgment that you have planned to take against mine enemies. I've said to you on many occasions that God, in his wonderful mercy toward his people, has taken them aside and said, look, here's what I plan to do one day. Here's what I'm going to do in this earth, and what I'm going to do against the wicked in this earth. God shares that plan with his people. And we, in turn, can look at God's plan revealed in the Bible and take comfort from it. It's all going to end one day. The wicked's going to be dealt with one day. And no matter what I'm passing through at this present time, it's not going to last. The wicked's going to be dealt with one day. And here in verse 6, the psalmist is saying, Lord, let that day come. Arise, O Lord, in thine anger. Lift up thyself because of the rage of mine enemies and awake for me. You know, boys and girls, there are times when God's people foolishly think that God's sitting down, twiddling his thumbs, as it were, and not a bit interested in them. It's as if he has fallen asleep. Sometimes God's people feel that. The enemy's doing what he likes, and God's not interested. And there's something of that spirit here in this verse. Arise, O Lord, get up in thine anger. Lift up thyself because of the rage. Awake! It's wrong to think that God's not watching, not taking careful note of what's going on, has fallen asleep. There was a very famous incident given us in the Gospel. You'll find it in Mark chapter 4, the verse 38. There was a storm on the Lake of Galilee, and the disciples were in a boat. And the boat was being badly tossed by the storm, and the waves were breaking over the side, and the boat was beginning to fill up, and the Lord Jesus was asleep on the back of the boat. And the disciples ran to him, and they shook him, as it were, and they said, don't you care that we're perishing? How wrong it was for them for one moment to think that the Lord didn't care. There's never a moment, and this is a marvelous mystery, there never has been a moment in which God didn't care for you if you're saved. Even before you were saved, he cared. The fact that you are saved shows his care for you because he preserved you until you were saved. And now that you are saved, he will continue to care for you and look after you and carry you all the way to heaven. But we do at times feel the Lord has forgotten about us. Oh, let us never do that. Let us never do that. But certainly let us pray that the Lord will soon arise and do against his enemies, our enemies, what he has planned. Or as it's here in the final words of verse 6, the judgment that thou hast commanded. God has already laid down exactly the judgment that will fall on the wicked. And you can read about it in the Bible. How it's all going to end. You can read about it in the Bible. And you should read about it in the Bible. And if you do, then like David, when the enemy's cursing you and mocking you and slandering you and criticizing you and trying by every means to make you sad, you'll be able to sing in triumph, because God one day will deal with our enemies. Well, boys and girls, may the Lord bless us. And I surely trust and pray that it will have been a help and a benefit to you. Let's bow in prayer. O God, help the boys and girls to understand that God has planned how it all will end. And if we see in his word what it is he has planned and study what it is he has planned, then we'll be able to sing in the midst of our trouble. Answer prayer, Lord, I ask of thee. Glorify your name and bless the school for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.